is Christian Questions.
George Patton once said, "The time to take counsel of your fears is before you make an important battle decision. That's the time to listen to every fear you can imagine. When you've collected all the facts and fears and made your decision, turn off all your fears and go ahead." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can also contact us at our website, christianquestions.net.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we're glad that you've chosen to spend some time with us. Jonathan, what is our topic this fine Sunday morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, got armor? And our theme text comes from Romans chapter 13, verse 12. "The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light."
Jonathan, last week we took a hard look at Islam and compared its message of devotion to that of Christianity. And we looked at its personal and national approach to jihad and saw significant differences from our own Christian faith. Today we're going to focus on the Christian, quote, jihad, if you will, the Christian's personal struggle to fight our warfare, not against others, but against Satan. How do we fight this fight? What are we armed with? What makes us think that such a battle against such an enemy can even be won? So it's a big battle we're looking at, Jonathan.
It's huge.
But it doesn't have to do with any physical human enemies.
No, it doesn't.
Phew! This is a different kind of a battle. This is a battle featuring the armor of God, as mentioned in Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And so, folks, if you want to follow along in your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10. We're going to be focusing on that section of Scripture primarily for the next couple of hours.
So this is an internal battle.
It is an internal battle. But in some ways, yes, but, you know, there is an external enemy. I mean, Satan is external.
Yes, he is.
So how do we put it all in perspective? That's the big question. So, first of all, who's the enemy? I guess didn't we just sort of answer that?
Yes.
Let's pretend we didn't. So, Jonathan, who's the enemy, and how do we secure our protection for this armed conflict that we are involved in? Let's start with Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12.
"Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world's forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places."
So there's a scripture that lists out a lot of things. We could spend the entire time, forget the armor, we could just talk about the scripture and all of these things listed here.
That's
so
right.
So when we say who's the enemy, obviously we say Satan is the primary enemy, and there's a great scripture here that puts that in perspective.
Yeah, and we know that Satan is the ruler of this world. And he was put in chains of darkness in Tartarus around the atmosphere, around the earth, to try to manipulate it, to work it.
Where was he? In tartar sauce?
Funny. Tartarus.
Okay.
So he's above the earth, not under it.
Okay, right. That's an important part of this thing, and that's why this is an external battle that's essentially fought internally.
Yes.
Let's look at 1 Peter 5:8, though, because that gives us a sense of the power and the objectives of the enemy.
"Be of a sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour."
Now, if that's your enemy, you had just better be aware.
For sure.
Because if the enemy is just looking for somebody to devour, it says to be alert. And the implication is if you're not alert, you're dinner.
Be on guard.
Yeah.
Right?
You have to be. You have to be on guard. And in the Ephesians scripture before that, it talked about a lot of different things in terms of dinner, you know, with tartar sauce. I don't know. There just might be some connection that I'm thinking that. Okay, focus.
Yes.
Back in the Ephesians scripture, it listed the kinds of things that are all part of the army of Satan, if you will. It talked about rulers
mm-hmm.
and powers, world forces of darkness. That's, I mean, we're not talking something little.
No, that's scary.
Yeah, and a lot of times we say, well, you know, my biggest enemy is myself. Well, no, one of your biggest enemies is yourself.
That's right.
But you have to look outside of that.
Absolutely.
And see that this armor that the scriptures talk about is to fight the things on the outside.
And another one is spiritual wickedness.
And all of this is headed by who?
Satan.
That's right. There is no bigger, badder, or more brutal enemy that we could ever, ever face.
We can't do it on our own.
So we have to be armed. So, folks, we're going to be talking about the armor of God throughout our program this morning. We'd love to get your thoughts and your input on what it means, the different parts of the armor, or how you have walked through your life and fought the battle against Satan and his minions, if you will, the rulers and the powers and the world forces of darkness. How do you stand against those things? Our number is 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And the conversation continues online at ChristianQuestions.net. Contact us there with your questions or comments. Also, interact with us on Facebook and our always updated blog.
So, ChristianQuestions.net is the place to go. Jonathan, as we go through the armor, we're not going to do it in order.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to take some things out of order because in a lot of areas we're only on for 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to get some specific pieces of armor out in that hour.
Very good.
But folks, if we're not on in the second hour in your area, go to ChristianQuestions.net, hit the Listen Live button, and you can follow along and join our conversation for that second hour online if we're not on in your area. So we're going to start with, we're going to go to Ephesians 6:14 and start with this particular piece of armor.
Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth.
Okay, having girded your waist with truth. So the loins or the waist is girt, held together with truth.
Now, the belt neither protects or attacks. Right,
so this is a belt. This is talking about a armor belt, if you will.
So it holds it all together.
Right, okay. Right. It really does. It keeps the undergarments of the Roman type soldier in place, and it's a place where you can sheathe the sword, and it keeps the breastplate and things from flopping around.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very important piece of armor that it's not a protection necessarily, except
mm-hmm.
and it's not something that's offensive either.
Right.
It's just sitting there, but it plays an incredibly important role of holding things together. The commentator McGee had some points on this.
Having your loins girth about with truth, in the ancient garment of the day, the girdle about the loins held in place every other part of the uniform of the soldier. It was essential. To tell you the truth, if the girdle was lost, you lost everything.
So if it wasn't tight, you're not able to fight well because you're now sloppy. In other words, in terms of how things are all working together. So I want to go to a really quick little sound bite from Falaria Filmworks, and they did this documentary on using a fictitious Roman soldier. And going through the pieces of armor that he wears and how they work. And it just gives you a little bit of an insight into each piece. We're not going to do it with each piece, but this we're going to be looking at the Roman legionaries' clothing and focusing on that belt.
The military belt, which is called a cingulum, ensures the weapons remain firmly in place. The belt is made of leather and has metal plates both for decoration and reinforcement. At the front is an apron of leather straps, decorated with metal discs and pendants.
So, it keeps things in place, it's a little bit decorated, but again, it doesn't serve any purpose other than to hold things together.
Go ahead.
You think, well, okay, so what's the great significance of that?
It reminds me of the core of your body, and you know how if your abs aren't tight, you know, everything falls apart, your back becomes weak. So this is, you know, the gut, you're keeping it tight. And to me, that's a great picture. That's very important.
Well, yeah, and like a weightlifter's belt. Big belt. You know,
yeah.
When I go and lift weights, I don't wear one of those belts. Come on, who am I trying to kid? I can lift about 17 pounds. I don't need a belt. But let's take a look at how this truth factors in the scriptures. And folks, again, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
John 17:17-18.
Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world.
So sanctify them by your truth. This is Jesus praying for his disciples and therefore for us. And he's saying, sanctify, set them apart. How? By your truth. So the truth is something that should set true Christianity apart from everybody else.
That's the core.
Right. So that and what is the truth? I mean, there's a lot of things that we look at as the truth of the matter. And let's go through a couple of other scriptures and then see if we can sort of wrap up that thought on the importance of being held together by truth, by biblical scriptural truth.
Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy.
See, there's several things in that scripture, Jonathan. First of all, the first verse you read, gird up the loins of your mind. So that's telling us that the truth of scripture needs to be planted and held firmly in our minds.
Yes.
Okay? So that picture of armor really fits in that First Peter scripture.
It really does.
Okay, a different author giving you a slightly different application. And then it says to be holy. Well, to be sanctified is to be set apart for a holy purpose.
Right.
So it's taking and saying the truth is what you've got to be focused on, and that is what sets you apart to be holy in the sight of God.
Absolutely. And I think of the good news is that truth. God's kingdom, his everlasting kingdom, that's truth. Peace, that truth gives us peace that surpasseth all understanding. Having those things together really gives you confidence.
And remember when Jesus was talking to Peter and Peter said, you know, you are the Messiah?
Yes.
And Jesus' response was, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon the proclamation that I am the Messiah, will I build my church.
That's right.
He's saying upon this truth,
yes,
of what I came to do, I will build my church. That is the truth that we have to be looking for. So
absolutely,
it is profound that this truth, the Word of God, is what gives all of the rest of the armor a consistent base to be able to function from. All right, so let's look at a couple of things that this truth does.
It's of God,
okay,
therefore the higher origin than any other source.
So it comes from a very high origin. What else?
It's consistent. It gives black and white principles from which we can deal with all shades of gray.
The world is full of shades of gray. The truth, the scriptural truth, taken as it was given, helps us to take all of those shades of gray and put them in the right places, because there are many clear-cut black-and-white principles.
Rick, it's also eternal. It defines not only what has happened and what is at present, but also defines what will be.
So it's eternal. It looks at past, present, and future. And it, you know, there's a great comfort when you have something that tells you about what's going to happen in the future.
Oh, yes.
Okay, and finally, what else?
It's irrefutable. It stands the test of time, philosophy, compromise, and doubt.
So all of those things are put in place in perspective. The truth is the foundation, perhaps the unnoticed foundation for the victory over Satan. And that's the thing. You look at all the armor, you see the big shiny sword and the big shiny shield,
yep,
and the helmet and all that. Nobody notices that little belt.
No.
But how important that little practically unnoticed belt of truth is in our Christian life.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, got armor? Coming up, which would you choose, a shield or a buckler? I didn't say butler, I said buckler. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, got armor? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
We are talking about the armor of God, as mentioned, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 on, and there's lots of pieces of armor. We're not going to obviously be able to get to all of them in this first hour. We looked at the belt or the girdle of truth and how important truth is, and it's sort of almost unnoticed amidst the rest of the armor.
That's right.
But it plays an incredibly important part about in terms of keeping everything together.
Exactly.
And without truth, you can't keep it together. And there's something very, very important about that point. So, folks, we are looking at next piece of armor is the shield of faith. And Ephesians 6:16 is where we get the illustration for that shield of faith.
In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one.
Now, at the end of the last segment, you said something about, what, a butler?
A buckler.
Is he serving tartar sauce? That's what I want to know.
A shield or a buckler?
A shield or a buckler, okay? A buckler. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown talks about describes the type of shield that's mentioned here in this Ephesians scripture. Just a quick line on this.
Shield, the large oblong oval door-like shield of the Romans, 4 feet long by 2.5 feet broad, not the small round buckler.
So a buckler is a different kind of a shield.
That's right.
All right. And actually both types of shields are mentioned in Psalm 91:4. Let's look at that.
He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler.
So there's two different types of shields, and you say, okay, well, which one is the shield of faith that is spoken of in Ephesians chapter 6? And again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday morning from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
Stay connected to Rick and I at ChristianQuestions.net, no matter the day or time.
And, Jonathan, I got to tell you that several years ago we did a program on the armor of God, and you've got these two types of shields, and I actually presented the armor using saying the buckler was the shield here.
Yeah, okay.
Upon further examination, I was wrong.
You changed your mind.
Well, I changed my mind because the scriptures and the commentary brought out that it is actually the larger shield.
Even though one commentary said it was the buckler.
Yeah, but and actually the one who straightened me out on that was Julie, our chief rewinder.
Thank you, Julie.
Yeah, after the program, she said, "Did you know that?" And I go, "Oh, oops." Anyway, so it is that large shield that is the shield of faith in this particular illustration.
Speaking of Julie and CQ Rewind, you should check out CQ Rewind.
Why should you do that?
The full edition, it's by email sign-up only. It includes comprehensive excerpts, transcripts, fully quoted scriptures, plus bonus material, all presented in a reader-friendly format full of graphics and illustrations. Check them out at ChristianQuestions.net. CQ Rewind. You heard the program, now see it as well.
Only available at ChristianQuestions.net, and it is a great tool to use, and we really do want to encourage you to try it. You know, it's interesting.
Are we going to have pictures of the armor on CQ Rewind?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And it just gives you a sense of the reality of what we're talking about in a very visual format. They do a really, really good job on putting that together. So again, it is a free service that is just an important part of this whole thing. And our subscriptions to CQ Rewind continually go up week after week after week.
Wonderful.
They just kind of creep up. You know, folks are beginning to realize the value that's offered there. And again, it's a free service, so try it out, ChristianQuestions.net. One more scripture on the buckler, Jonathan. It's a mobile protection. Remember, this is not, quote, the shield of faith, but it is a shield that protects us. Proverbs 2:7.
He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly.
So that buckler is to be used when you're out and about, sort of thing.
Right.
Okay, the kind of battle that we're looking at with the shield of faith is that kind of battle where you have those soldiers out on the field all shoulder to shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So kind of picture that. They've got these big shields. And, of course, if you're shoulder to shoulder and you have those big shields in front of you,
nothing can penetrate.
Right. You're really covered well.
Yes.
And that's an important thing. So let's take a look at some of the observations of this shield of faith.
The shield is carried onto the battlefield. It can be put down.
Right. It's not attached to you. So if you decide to put it down because your arm is tired or something,
you can.
So what we're saying is your faith can be put.
Be careful.
Put away from you. Yeah, not a good thing. What else?
It's a massive portable protection, an offensive weapon for pushing back an enemy.
So it's not offensive in the way that you can swing it like a sword.
No.
But you can certainly repel something very close to you.
It represents a double protection carried to cover the armor that one wears on the body.
So you've already got the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and all those things. But this is a protection outside of those things.
But you won't storm a castle with it.
No, because it's
huge.
It's not meant to be running around with.
Mm-hmm.
It's meant to be moving slowly, progress forward with.
Exactly.
Okay.
You will be protected when in a place of vulnerability, a place where there are no walls.
And that's another important part of this. It's a portable wall. So our faith as a Christian ought to be a portable wall against the evil wiles of the devil. It is a portable wall that protects us from those things. The question is, do you carry your portable wall with you everywhere you go? Because you should.
Right.
You know, this is a battle that's bigger than us. And remember, Jonathan, the enemy is so much bigger and so much stronger than we are. We will die.
That's right.
Unless we are properly armed and we properly use that armor.
And Rick, the shield is specific to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. A buckler would not suffice. We'd be overmatched if we just had a buckler.
It's too small.
It is.
It's too small. So again, it's this big shield that literally, especially for a guy like me, you think about how well that shield would cover my little person. See, you're a little bigger than me. You'd have a little bit harder time. You'd have to crouch down. But me, I could practically stand up and wave my arms and be behind, not quite that way, but
no.
And be behind the shield and not have to worry about it. So it is an incredibly important thing to have that shield of faith. It is a wall of protection against the offensive weaponry of the evil one who wants you dead. So this is an important battle. Again, it's a picture. We're obviously talking in picture language here, but it is a very real battle that we have to be aware of.
But we're not to seek hand-in-hand combat that a buckler would benefit us.
Right, right. And that's the thing. We can't
very
go.
Very different.
Right. We don't go toe-to-toe with the devil.
No.
If you think you can, you're dead.
Yep.
Because you will not be able to stand up against such things. So there is safety within the fellowship of Christianity.
Nice.
Because it's talking about Christianity on the battlefield. And I want to go to a soundbite here, Jonathan, that sort of illustrates that. This is, as you mentioned during the break, this is from one of my favorite stories and movies of all time. This is from The Lord of the Rings. The scene is the final battle where Legolas the elf and Gimli the dwarf, I say that on this program and I'm thinking, wait a minute, are dwarves and elves in Middle Earth in this story by Tolkien were at odds with one another all the time. The two of them were put together in this quest to destroy this evil ring of power, and they became fast friends. They're totally different in the way they do everything. They're here at the Black Gate, and it looks like certain death. And so you've got the two of them who have always been naturally at odds, standing shoulder to shoulder in what looks to be the last stand of their lives. And this is just a quick little dialogue between them.
I thought I'd die fighting side by side with an elf.
What about side by side with a friend?
I could do that.
So, side by side with a friend.
Right. And the dwarf says, I never thought I'd die side by side with an elf. And it's like, it's not natural. But they're there for a purpose bigger than themselves. And the interesting thing is, you see their dedication to the purpose together, even though they are naturally at odds. And isn't that what Christianity is supposed to do for us?
Absolutely.
If we come from different backgrounds, if we come from different lives. In the early church, the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians, they had to learn to be able to stand side by side together and be willing to die for their cause together.
You're listening to Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, got armor? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, christianquestions.net.
So, Jonathan, as we look at this shield of faith, what we see is it is an incredibly important implement that is given to us to protect our whole person.
That's right.
And it doesn't, we just need to be able to stay behind it. We need to know when to move, but you always keep that shield on your arm and in front of you, and it gives you that added layer of protection from things that that could potentially blindside you.
And I always think of the word trust when I hear the word faith. And I look at it as trusting in God's overruling providences in our daily lives.
And how important that is, but we can't have, we can't fight the fight without faith.
That's right.
Proverbs 18:10, you know, this is sort of like when faith is in a little bit of a tough spot. Proverbs 18:10, listen to this.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe.
So kind of like when your shield is down and you're in a position of difficulty, you can run to that strong tower, you know, sort of get refortified and maybe get a new shield. But faith is a shield thwarting the darts of the enemy. Let's take a look at Psalm 56, verses 1 through 4, just to show this shield in action, if you will.
Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I will put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me?
You can hear the faith dripping out of that scripture. It's like it's overwhelming in that scripture, saying, I'm fighting all day and the enemy oppresses me, but I can stand firm because I have my faith. So David is saying, I've got my shield.
Yes.
And even though it's difficult, I can still move on. I can move forward. I can fight this fight because even though the enemy is bigger, I can be stronger because of God. Not because of me,
That's
but because
right.
of God.
Well, Rick, let's go to the phones. We have Clanky from Florida. Good morning, Clanky, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just been listening, and I'm very interested in the subject, but I haven't heard you mention the scriptures, Hebrews 11:6, where it says that without faith it's impossible to please God.
Well, there you go. Now we like have it. Mentioned it.
But I think your conversation and study is just so interesting. I can't wait to hear the rest of it. And I'm just going to, I just wanted to make that one comment, and so I'll listen.
Okay, Clanky. Well, we're glad you did.
All right.
Take
God
care.
And you too.
Thank you.
See, now there you go. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so let's
perfect time.
Let's bring it a step further. Without faith, it's impossible to fight this battle.
Good.
It is impossible to fight the battle of a Christian against the wiles of the devil. Impossible. Thank you, Clanky. Hebrews 11:6. Great thought in scripture. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And the conversation continues next hour online and all through the week. Christian Questions is live Sunday mornings and on demand with tons of topics to talk about, featured in our audio archive, CQ Rewind, Facebook, and our blog, only at ChristianQuestions.net.
Jonathan, let's go to James chapter 2, verses 18 to 20. This is a very important scripture.
But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless?
So now, here's the thing. Is it faith or is it works? And the answer is
yes.
Yes, it is. And here's the thing, Jonathan. Faith without works is like having the shield but staying at home.
Okay.
All right. You got your faith. Great. But you're not out there fighting the fight.
Okay.
You're staying at home. That's not what we're supposed to be. Works without faith is showing up on the battlefield with no shield.
Oh, the trouble.
So either way, you're in trouble. One, you're sort of cowering in the background. The other is you're trying to stand on your own rather than standing in God's strength. So you got to have faith. You got to have faith.
Here we go.
And you have to have the works of faith. And the works of faith, I think, are shown by being out there on the front line and moving forward. One more scripture before we close the segment.
But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world.
Who are in the world. They're out there. They're working side by side, shoulder to shoulder, to make sure that we all stand firm. You're wearing that belt of truth we talked about, and you've got that great, and the belt of truth is small.
Yes.
The shield of faith.
It's huge.
That's huge. Both of them. One is not more important than the other.
That's right.
But both of them serve incredibly important roles in our fighting the good fight.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, got armor. Coming up, is your sword always near you? Did you know you could keep your sword in your phone?
What?
That's next.
Oh, it's not in your phone.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, got armor? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And Jonathan, so far we've talked about two pieces of armor, the girdle or the belt of truth, which is not gaudy, it's not necessarily obvious.
But it's important.
But it holds everything together. And then the shield of faith, which is incredibly obvious.
Yes.
Because it's big enough to cover your whole body.
Yes.
One is not more important than the other. Our third piece of armor that we're going to talk about in this hour, is the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17.
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
And again, folks, if we're not on live in your area for the second hour, we've got to cover the rest of the armor. Look, you don't want to go to battle with half your armor.
There you go.
So you have to stay with us. Go to ChristianQuestions.net, hit the Listen Live button, and join in our conversation. It continues in that second hour, ChristianQuestions.net. So the sword of the Spirit is next, Jonathan. Before we get into it in any kind of detail, why don't we go back to the phones?
All right, we have Peter from Groton. Good morning, Peter, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning.
Hey.
And it is a good one. We all woke up.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, it often surprises me how easy it is to, follow what Jesus taught. And because it was brought to us through Jesus by God.
Right.
And that is our defense.
Mm-hmm.
Since we're the only ones here who are created in the image of God, then we're the only ones that the devil, whose place is here, would want to hurt in order to hurt God.
Right, right.
So I just think having that strong faith, that honesty, and recognizing that we do have vices, and knowing that if you can see it, that it is a vice, and that it is something that could be a weakness, if you depend on that faith and the teachings of Jesus, you know, that God brought through Jesus, then I think the devil is not even going to try to hurt you because he's wasting his time, and he knows it.
Good point.
You know?
Yeah, good point. Peter,
hey, great show.
Thank you so much, Peter. We appreciate it.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
And you know, he brought up something important. We're created in the image of God, and therefore Satan wants us gone.
Right.
And I keep thinking back to that program we did a few weeks ago on evolution. Remember we played the soundbite about the ape that got lucky?
Yeah.
You know, that sort of ended up becoming human? Versus the concept, what we believe the truth is, that no, we were created in the image of God. And therefore there's something great to lose in this battle of good versus evil.
That's right. And if we trust in our faith, Satan will give up. Because he sees how strong we are
right.
And how grounded we
are. If you have on all of that armor and you've practiced with it and you use it well and consistently and all the time, you're just not somebody that he's going to want to target nearly as much.
That's right.
But the minute you let down your guard, you know, he's got his spies.
Oh,
you know, and then beep, beep, danger, Will Robinson, danger, you know. Shields up, shields up. Got to be careful. So, Peter, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate your thoughts. Jonathan, all of the other armor, we're now looking at the sword of the spirit. All of the other armor is in place to protect. It's in place to guard that which is vulnerable. Mm-hmm. This sword is the only purely offensive weapon. So the question is, okay, well, what's it capable of doing? Okay, it's called the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
So if the spirit is described as a sword, we can safely say that this sword is a gift from God, and it is given and it gives its chosen user a great power to wield. Now, it's called the sword of the spirit.
Right. Now, which is it? Is it God's spirit or is it God's word? I'm a little confused on this.
Okay. Yes, you are right. It is God's spirit and it is God's word. It's called the sword of the spirit, then it's defined as the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you put those two things together? Well, that last scripture was about being this new creation, and that is being begotten of the spirit of God.
Right.
Okay? So you have to have the Spirit of God in order to use and understand and use the Word of God.
Ah, I see the connection now.
So without both, so in other words, you could take the Word of God and you could use it as a sword. But let's say you're somebody who does not believe in Christianity and you want to pick a verse out of the Bible and just say, well, here's what your book says. That's using the Word of God.
It's wielding the sword.
Right. It's wielding a sword.
But
it's not the sword of the spirit.
Oh.
Because it's taking the scriptures out of the context and out of the attitude with which they were presented in terms of a book of salvation.
Gotcha.
Through Christ. So
you need the spirit to understand God's word.
And to be able to properly use it. I think that's how it all fits together.
Thank you.
Folks, look, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And we want to hear what you have to say about today's topic. Post your comments on our Facebook page and our blog. Go to ChristianQuestions.net.
And you know, Jonathan, it would be pretty awesome to hear from some of our listeners down in the Tampa-St. Petersburg area.
It sure would.
Just to get some thoughts of what it's like in the sunny south fighting the same battle that we fight up in the cold north. So again, it's 866-985-4255. Jonathan, let's go to another scripture. The Apostle Paul demonstrates the proper use of this power, the spirit. We're focusing on the spirit part of the sword first before we get to the word part later.
And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
What a great description of the spirit part of this sword.
Isn't that the way we are when we first come into the knowledge of truth and first proclaim that Jesus is our Savior? We're there, but we're not sure.
The fear and trembling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And explaining things. It's very hard at first, but over time, you develop.
Yeah, and it gets easier. However, I mean, think about it. What we do every Sunday morning, I still approach this with fear and trembling. You know, because what you want to present as you're talking to the thousands and thousands of people listening is you want to present the word, the unadulterated word of God without your take, if you will, on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you want to, and the Apostle Paul puts that in great perspective. Your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that's part of what the sword of the Spirit is and does. Folks, again, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
So, Jonathan, let's look at this sword of the Spirit. So make some observations about how it works and what it's there for.
Well, it's a weapon of offense.
All right. So it's something that you can actually attack the enemy with.
And it's given to us to use in our hand.
So when it's given to you in your hand, again, that means you can put it down.
That's right.
And it also means you need to be able to practice how to use it properly.
We also choose how to wield it.
Right. We can choose if we use it well, or if we just use it sparingly, or just when we feel like it. I mean, look, if you just use the sword of the Spirit when you go to Sunday meeting on Sunday, you know, go to church, that's not the proper use. You are not training well.
Now, is your sword in your phone?
What? Yeah, that's right. You said that before. What do you mean? You put the sword in your phone. What, do you have a picture of a sword on your phone?
No, you have different versions of Bibles in your iPhone.
Now, think about that. So you can carry it with you, literally.
That's right. Hey, literally.
What an awesome thing that is.
You can put it right on your side
that's
if you
right,
want.
That's right. That's right. On guard. Let me just look up that text.
There you go.
That's a great, great illustration. That's a great reality. The other thing about it, Jonathan, is we can put it down. You know,
yes.
So we've got to be careful.
Absolutely.
We can put it down. So one of the primary differences between all of the armor versus the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit is the other pieces are what God gives us. He gives us these things, and they're put on and they're attached to us. All of the other armor is fastened on compared to the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which
right.
are things that we hold.
We hold them. We can let them both go, though.
Therefore, our holding them and using them is what we give back to God.
Nice.
So it's kind
nice.
Of an interesting comparison between the two. Jonathan, let's go back to another soundbite, Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
This is that same final battle, and this is Aragorn, who has now become the leader of all that is going against evil. And he is rallying the troops because they're going to be outnumbered, outgunned, outmanned, out everything. And they need to follow someone with great courage. And he's willing to sacrifice his life to give Frodo a chance to do his job. And this is one of those inspiring moments in terms of battle. Let's listen.
Hold your ground! Hold your ground! Sons of Gondor! Of Rohan! My brothers!
I see in your eyes the same fear that would take the heart of me.
A day may come when the courage of men fails, when we forsake our friends and break all bonds of fellowship.
But it is not this day.
An hour of wolves and shattered shields when the age of men comes crashing down. But it is not this day. This day we fight.
By all that you hold dear on this good earth, I bid you stand, men of the West!
Wow. Oh, I love that. You know, and it's this day we fight together as a unified army. That's what the armor of God is supposed to do for us as unified body of Christianity. What an inspiring look.
Absolutely.
At how this all works. Jonathan, we've got just a couple minutes here. Let's quick go to the phones.
Well, we have Sue from North Carolina. Good morning, Sue, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Glad to talk to you. I have a dilemma. I'm dating a man that is trying to talk me into sex before marriage.
Uh-huh.
I've been a Christian for 15 years, and I'm trying to put my armor up. I'm a little nervous, sorry.
That's okay. That's all right.
Anyway, I feel guilty, and he says he doesn't feel it's a sin, and I do feel it's a sin before marriage. To me, it's just like committing adultery.
Well, you know what? You're right. The scriptures are very, very specific about that, and I know it doesn't go over well in the world in which we live, but it's not proper for a Christian to be engaging in premarital activity like that. So it is an area where you need to put up your armor and stand firm. And it's difficult, but it's scriptural. And if you use that shield of faith and that sword of the Spirit and you wield properly the Word of God, you can stand against such things.
Well, I feel like he doesn't feel that God talks to me, and right after our conversation, God told me it was a sin, and I'm trying to tell him that it's wrong, we're not married. And he doesn't feel it's a sin.
Yeah, and listen, Sue, we're gonna have to let you go because we're just about
okay,
out of time.
Thank you very much for your conversation. Have a good day.
Okay, thanks, and keep listening. Because, Jonathan, something like this, this is a great way to end this hour. Because
it really
what it does is it puts things in perspective. How do you strengthen yourself? How do you stand firm when sin is literally right in front of you?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, if you apply the things that we're talking about in this hour and in the next hour, go to ChristianQuestions.net, hit the Listen Live button if we're not on locally in your area, and continue listening. What you can do is find your strength in the fact that God has prepared for us all that we need to be able to stand firm. What we need is to have courage in the face of fear. Understand something? Courage is not the absence of fear. It is taking proactive action in the face of fear. And we can be afraid and we can feel overrun and overmanned, and especially in a situation like Sue was mentioning, it can be difficult.
It's a struggle fighting the flesh.
It is, but it doesn't mean it can't be done. It might hurt, you might have some loss along the way, but if you keep the armor in place, you can be an overcomer and a true soldier of Christ. Folks, we hope you've enjoyed being with us for this hour. We're going to continue next hour. Go to ChristianQuestions.net, hit Listen Live, and stay with us. We'd love to get your comments right here, right now on Facebook, so don't forget to do that. In the second hour, we're going to talk about the purely defensive parts of the weaponry that we are given to overcome this battle against Satan. You don't want to miss it. It is an awesome thing that God gives us. Stay with us. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We'll be back after the news and all of that. But till then, got armor? We'll be back soon. Think about it.
Is Christian Questions.
Dwight D. Eisenhower once said, "Pessimism never won any battle." Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, what's that topic on this fine Sunday morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, got armor?
Got milk?
And our theme text comes from Romans chapter 13, verse 12. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light.
So there is a transition mentioned in that theme scripture. Lay aside the deeds of darkness, put on the armor of light.
Yes.
So what it's saying is, if you are engulfed in the deeds of darkness, you can't put on the armor of light.
No, you can't.
Because it won't fit. And it reminds me of the last call from the last hour. Sue from North Carolina called with a real legitimate dilemma,
mm-hmm.
about a relationship with somebody and the sex outside of marriage question. And how do you battle things like that? And the answer is you stay armed. And you find your support amongst your fellow Christian soldiers.
So you're not alone.
You're not alone. You see, Satan wants us to fight the battle alone. The whole concept of the army and the armor is to be armed and standing shoulder to shoulder together. In the first hour, we talked about the belt of truth.
That's right. Gird your waist with truth, yes.
And remember how that holds everything together.
That's right.
It's not this big, gaudy piece of armor, but it is just as important as everything else. You have to have truth in order to be able to fight the fight.
The second piece we talked about was the shield of faith.
And that's the big kind of shield. That shield that can literally cover your whole person. And if we all, as soldiers of Christ, have that shield, and we are all standing shoulder to shoulder, we can all get behind it, and it's impenetrable. That's how strong our faith can be.
And the third piece we talked about was the sword of the Spirit.
And remember, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Right.
And it's not just the Word of God.
But it's God's Spirit helping you to understand the Word of God.
So that when you use the Word of God, you're using it through the Spirit of God and not through the attitude of man.
You're wielding it properly.
Right. And when we can wield the Word of God properly, boy, it has great, great, great power against the adversary especially. So, folks, we're talking about the armor of God. We've talked about three pieces of armor. We've got three pieces to go. We'd love to get your thoughts. We've had some great calls already. 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. It means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
So let's go forward, Jonathan. Let's look at the breastplate of righteousness, Ephesians 6:14.
Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness.
Okay, and we mentioned in the first hour we took these all out of order.
Yes.
Okay, so just so you know, wait a minute, how come you're not... Anyway. We're out of order. That's okay. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So the question is, okay, this breastplate of righteousness. Well, whose righteousness are we talking about here? Is it saying I'm going to be as righteous as I possibly can be because I'm a good person and I have integrity, so I'm going to develop my own personal righteousness so that righteousness can protect me?
No, Rick.
Oh.
We're all imperfect. We fall far short.
So you're saying it's not our personal righteousness.
No, it's not.
Okay, let's look at Romans 3:9-12.
What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we all have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one.
Boy, that just, you know, if you...
Depressing.
Yeah, if you were thinking about your own righteousness, you read that scripture and it's like the balloon that just gets inflated. There's just nothing left, as it should be, because our righteousness can't stand up to the battle.
Even Jesus said, there is only one good, that is my Heavenly Father.
So what this does is the playing field for soldiers is level. No one comes into Christ in a favored state because of their own personal high standing before God. All are sinners, and as such, all are worthy of death.
Mm-hmm.
So we all come in the same. We're all broken. We're all bruised. We're all battered. And yet, we can be armed with the right kind of righteousness, not our own, but the righteousness of Jesus, so that we can stand strong again. To me, that is just utterly inspiring.
Absolutely.
I get this shiver when I think about that. Like, oh, so as bad as I am, I could still stand good for Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 to 3.
My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments.
So there, it talks about Jesus Christ the righteous. So if we sin, there you have it.
There's the pattern.
And that's the breastplate. That's what protects our vital organs, is the righteousness of Jesus and the reason that he came as being a part of things. Jonathan, let's go to another soundbite from Falaria Filmworks. They were doing a sort of an explanation of Roman legionary soldier armor. And
okay.
Here they're describing a little bit about this breastplate that a Roman soldier would wear.
Being a legionary soldier, Placidus is of course well armed, but his body is also very well protected by a helmet, armor, and a shield. His body armor, or lorica, is made of iron plates riveted to heavy leather straps on the inside of the harness, so they won't break easily during a fight. When the armor is assembled, Placidus can put it on like a jacket. The lorica is fastened with leather straps that run through the hooks at the front and back. It weighs almost 10 kilos, but because the different parts move along with the body movement and the weight is spread evenly over the upper body, he can wear it in relative comfort all day long.
So that gives you kind of a clear picture of what the armor looks like and fits like. Iron plates with leather straps, and it's got enough movable parts so that when you move, it moves with you.
It just would seem to be uncomfortable and just so heavy that you would lose, you know, and get away
but they make
from
it movable. Now,
yeah.
It said it weighs about 10 kilos, which is about 22 pounds. Okay. So, but it's draped over your entire midsection. So you again, it moves with you. It's got movable parts. You can put it on like a jacket. And how appropriate a picture of the breastplate of righteousness. We can put Jesus' righteousness on
like a jacket.
Like a jacket.
I like that.
Like the robe of Christ's righteousness.
Yes.
It's a little different picture, but the same end result.
Nice.
Jonathan, why don't we go to the phones?
All right. We have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Gentlemen, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Wonderful subject. Rick.
Yes.
What happened to your Yankees?
Now, brother, let's talk about the breastplate of righteousness or something. Let's leave my Yankees out of this.
I suppose it's good to see somebody else win once in a while.
I beg to differ, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, what hurt them greatly was Jeter breaking his ankle, I think.
I think so, too. But anyway, let's move on.
Let's move on, brother. Life goes on. Yeah, Matthew 10:28, very wonderful scripture. It says, "Fear not those that can destroy your body, but fear God that can destroy the spirit also, you know, your new creature."
Right.
You know? It's God is always there to protect you. Matthew 26:52, remember when I think Peter brought out his sword?
Yes.
And cut the servant's ear off. And Jesus said, the Lord said, "This is not my style. I don't need a physical sword. Let the truth, the sword of the Spirit, do its work." Number three, 1 Samuel 17:45. David to the giant, "You come to me with a sword and spear. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, whom you defile." I believe there's going to be a repeat of that at a tremendous, larger scale, a spectacle. Israel is going to be overrun by a coalition of enemies, and God will deliver David in metaphor, in symbol, again. God will fight for Israel as it did in the days of old. I look forward to that. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you, Joyce. Appreciate your call.
Good scriptures there, and that's a great picture of David standing against Goliath, because you can see David was armed with the Spirit of God working with him, and Goliath was just a soldier.
Yep.
So the armor and the battle that we fight is far above the physical level.
Yes.
Far above. Julius, thanks so much for the scriptures and especially the thoughts on David. Very appropriate here. Jonathan, let's get back to this breastplate of righteousness, and let's take a look at some of the observations on that breastplate. And again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And if you have any questions on our subject, ask your questions at christianquestions.net or go to our Facebook or email us at rick@christianquestions.net.
And again, don't forget to check out CQ Rewind. A lot of folks are doing it. More and more do it every week. It's a free service available exclusively at christianquestions.net. Breastplate observations.
This breastplate of righteousness is, in fact, the righteousness and justification of Jesus.
And that's such an important basic point. It's not your own righteousness. So if you're thinking you're good, forget about it. And put your goodness in the goodness of Christ.
And Rick, it's also a weapon of defense,
right?
As the ransom satisfies the just requirements of God and saves us from death.
It defends us. It literally defends us from eternal death. That's what the breastplate of righteousness is. It's a great, great defense.
For it to protect all of our vital organs, it must be attached to us. It must move as we move.
Again, when you put it on and it covers you, then all of the vitals are protected and you're able to move and you're able to move forward and you're able to still fight with Jesus as your primary protection.
And this breastplate is held in place by the girdle of truth of God's plan, for God's plan is centered on the price that Jesus paid.
So all of these things, Jonathan, they just delve or they dovetail, I mean, together.
Yes,
And when you get these dovetailed pieces together, it gives you a great opportunity to win a battle that is beyond us physically.
Only from a furniture maker would you come up with
dovetail. That's right. That's what I used to do in the past. Wearing the righteousness warrants choices that lead to a dramatic change in our behavior. If we wear the righteousness of Jesus rather than our own. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18.
"Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Baal? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols?
All right, we'll pause in that scripture for a moment here. Again, it's putting things in perspective as to what's important and leaving other things behind in so you can pursue, the righteousness of Christ in this case. Jonathan, quickly want to go to a soundbite. This is the second verse of a song sung by some children, the Lumen 8 Children's Choir. It's a song on the armor of God. It's very military sort of. It's got a lot of pep to it, but it gives you a sense of putting on these pieces of armor. Makes you want to get up and march and put on that armor. That's the key thought.
They're
here.
They're very energetic.
They are. And you know, it just gives, again, a sense of that, putting on the armor so we can be able to move forward. Just quickly, Jonathan, let's finish that scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18.
For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty.
See, you can't accomplish what this scripture is talking about without putting on the armor of God, specifically here, without putting on this breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness and justification of Jesus, not ourselves.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, Got Armor. Coming up, the sandals of peace. Sandals for battle, not steel-toed boots? Come on. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, Got Armor? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now on our website, christianquestions.net.
And Jonathan, this is quite a fascinating discussion about the armor of God and how important it is to have it on correctly, and then to go use it. You gotta go use it. You can't be partially armed and expect to even win the battle.
So your footwear can't be like loafers.
That is loaded, man. No, you can't be a loafering Christian. That's for darn sure. That just doesn't work. It just, so you got these sandals. Well, let's look at Ephesians 6:15.
And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
So that's a strange thing. You're wearing the preparation of the gospel of peace?
That is.
What does that mean? The preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, before we get into deciphering the meaning, and it's got a terrific meaning when you really get down to it, and it really is appropriate in terms of putting this armor in place. Let's go back to that Filaria Filmworks as they describe Roman legionaries' clothing, and he describes essentially how the sandals are made. This is fascinating stuff. Let's listen to this.
His military sandals, called caligae, have been cut from a single piece of leather. The thick sole has hobnails. This prevents the sandals from wearing down, and it gives him a firm grip on slippery soil. In addition, he wears a scarf to protect his neck and shoulders from the sharp edges of his armor.
So it talks about the sandals being cut from a single piece of thick leather.
Right.
Okay. And on the bottom, it said the word I think is hobnails. It's like studded. It's like studded,
like
tires.
Cleats.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. So I was trying to figure out what is it.
That's a good example. They're like cleats, so they don't wear down, and so you can get a good grip.
Okay.
Because you know this is for battle, and no, they didn't have steel-toed shoes back then. So sorry. So. Again, what does all of that mean, having the preparation of the gospel of peace on your feet? Why doesn't it say just wear the gospel of peace on your feet? I don't understand. Well, I do understand because we've studied it, but how do we put that in perspective? So let's kind of go through that. And again, folks, if you have a thought, it is 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
All right. First of all, the preparation of the gospel of peace. God is a God of peace. That's our first point, Romans 16:20.
The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you.
Now, think about that for a second. There's so much in there. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. So it's like you're out there fighting. You can't win, but you can stand and fight, and God will crush Satan under
your feet.
So it's not us that's going to win the battle over Satan.
No.
We win the battle over ourselves by our self-denial and our Christ-likeness, but God arranges for Satan to fall under our feet. To me, that's an incredible thing.
That is.
So you're fighting a battle that you're not capable of winning, but God will make you win anyway.
Wow.
That's what it's saying. Okay? So God, first point, God is a God of peace. Second, the good news of the gospel confirms that peace and salvation are derived from the plan of the God of peace. So the God of peace has a plan for mankind. Isaiah 52:7.
How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth.
So there you have this gospel being brought out in the Old Testament, and it talks about the feet of him that bring good tidings. So when you're talking about the feet, the idea is you're carrying something.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
You're delivering. You're the delivery person for this gospel of peace.
You're spreading it.
Right. That brings the good tidings, that publishes salvation, that says unto Zion, thy God reigns. It just gives a sense of the goodness of God. That's what the gospel is. The word gospel means
good news.
So we are literally carrying that wherever we go. That's kind of what that second point is. The good news of the gospel confirms that peace and salvation are derived from the plan of God, that God of peace, who has a plan for every man, woman, and child who ever lived. What a great, great gospel that is.
Amen.
The third point here, the good news confirms the pathway to peace and salvation. So there is a way to get to peace and salvation in our lives, and that's shown to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20.
Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation.
So hold the phone here for a second. And no, there's not a phone in this armor, but you mentioned you can put the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, on your phone.
That's right.
Okay. There is an app for that, okay? But here, this is a great scripture because it gives us a sense of a lot of things. It talks about these things are from God. He reconciled us, Christianity, true Christianity, to himself. How did he do it?
Through Christ.
Through Christ. And then he gave us, handed us, once he reconciled us to him, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
To the world.
To the world. And that's what the scripture says, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And that's the mission we're given. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's our job to carry that. Now let's finish the scripture.
Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God.
So then it gives the illustration here of being an ambassador for Christ. And when you're an ambassador, you're in a foreign country.
Yes.
But you are representing the government of the country from which you came.
That's right.
So if you are an ambassador for Christ, you are coming from the kingdom of God, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you come. Where do you live? Well, I'm living here in the United States, but I'm a resident of the kingdom of God.
That's right.
And you are bringing the message. You are representing that government.
You're appealing what you know from God to others.
And how do you do it? You carry it. And that's why the sandals of the preparation of the gospel of peace fit so well here. There's a pathway to salvation, and we're given the responsibility to show the pathway to salvation.
You're listening to Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, God Armor. And if you have a thought, give us a call, toll free, 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now on our website, christianquestions.net.
And the idea, again, of putting this armor on, in the theme scripture from the program, let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. We cannot wear the armor of God over top of the deeds of darkness.
No.
It will not fit. And you know what it reminds me of? You know,
what?
Julius called in earlier and talked about David going up against Goliath.
Yes.
Well, remember what happened before David actually went before Goliath? He was before King Saul and said, King Saul said, here, wear my armor.
And he couldn't because it was too heavy.
Yeah, it was
too large.
It was too large. It was too bulky. He couldn't move in it. And he said, I can't wear this. And basically, his armor came from someplace else.
The strength of God.
Right. So you can't wear something that is not tailored to you by God for you.
That's a good picture.
And the deeds of darkness, let me give you a hint, are not tailored to you by God. They may be tailored to you by Satan,
mm-hmm.
but they're not tailored to you by God. They may be tailored to you by your own will, but they're not tailored to you by God. So we have to take those things off in order to be able to put on this armor. And not the least of importance is the sandals of the preparation of the gospel of peace. So the first 3 points, God is a God of peace. The good news of the good news of the gospel confirms that peace and salvation are derived from that plan. The third point, the good news confirms the pathway to peace and salvation. The fourth point on these sandals of peace is to know all of this as a soldier of Christ is to be responsible for it, to be prepared to present it. And that's one of the keys here, 1 Peter 3:14-15.
But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear.
So you see, when it says, wear on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace, it's saying, be prepared. Make sure you know. Now, it gets back to that girdle of truth.
That's right.
Well, what is it that binds you together? Do you even know what the truth of God is through Christ in the gospel according to Scripture? Or do we just take somebody else's word for it and kind of go along and say, well, yeah, that's what he said. It sounded good to me. I mean, the idea is to be prepared. That's what this scripture is telling us. Make sure that when someone challenges you on your faith, you have a sense of why you believe what you believe. Not just, well, I believe. It's not blind faith.
No.
The kind of faith in the scriptures is not blind at all. It is informed. It's intelligent.
Well thought out.
It is full of integrity, and it's got something to offer, something concrete. And the preparation of the gospel of peace that we wear on our feet means that we are prepared to carry it to its destination.
And it's good news.
Yeah, hey, that's the best part.
God's kingdom.
You know, it's
everlasting.
It's not like you're a doctor, you know, coming to the family after surgery saying there's no hope for the patient.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, it's exactly the opposite. It's you're saying there's great hope. There's complete there's recovery that's better than the person was even originally.
That's right.
That's what the gospel is really all about. So be prepared to present it. That's the fourth point. And the fifth point on this gospel, the preparation of the gospel of peace, is wherever your steps take you, you spread the gospel. Romans 10:14-15.
But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
So in Romans, it's quoting that scripture that we talked about in Isaiah earlier on.
Yes.
But here's the thing, Jonathan, that's important. In terms of spreading the gospel wherever you go. Now, look, is it always appropriate to talk about the gospel of Christ to every single person that you meet?
No, you have to be in season
and out of season.
And out of season.
So how do you do it? You know, I had an uncle who died several years ago, Uncle Steve, who was a great spiritual mentor to me. And one of the things he said to me that I will always remember is he said, preach the gospel. Use words if necessary.
I like that.
And what he was saying is, live the gospel, and you'll be given opportunity to use the words. But if you can't use the words, have such a positive impact on those around you that when you are in their presence and then you leave, they look at you and say, wow, there's something different about that person. they stand for something. There's an integrity about them. There's a spirituality about them. There's a kindness. There's a love. There's a generosity. There's a focus about them that I just don't see in other places. And so the bringing the gospel doesn't necessarily mean you have to always say it, but you have to be it. You have to live it.
I like that.
And those sandals, you know, they're tied onto your feet. You can't just shake them off.
Right.
You know, it's not like loafers where you can just kick them off.
That's right.
Okay, it's a whole different kind of thing here. So this preparation of the gospel of peace is a powerful part of the armor because it carries us to bring and to deliver the message of the gospel in any way, shape, or form that's available. And again, it's not always words. Oftentimes, most often, because, you know, people can hear you talk, and a lot of times they just look at you and they make the sign with their hand, you know, opening and closing. How do you live? How is it that you live? What do you carry to them by the picture of your life? Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
We continue the conversation online. We want to hear your feedback on today's topic by posting on our Facebook page, where you can also see exclusive videos, check out our blog, and our website for audio, video, CQ Rewind, and other free resources. Again, that's at ChristianQuestions.net.
So, Jonathan, the message here is simple. Wherever you go, whatever you do, if you are engaged in this battle, then one of your responsibilities is to have the gospel of peace reflected in your every step. That's one of our responsibilities. If we are armed, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19 helps us understand that.
The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places.
Now, hinds' feet, like a deer's feet, you mm-hmm. know, being able to handle the rough terrain, if you will.
Gotcha.
So we have the responsibility of carrying the gospel of peace with us with our every step. That's part of being armed for the battle against Satan. And if we're carrying the gospel of peace, then we surely can call it to mind when Satan comes and attacks us.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, got armor. Coming up, you've got all these pieces of armor, but what protects your brain? Isn't that the most important thing? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, got armor? To be a part of our program, call toll-free, 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now on our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And Jonathan, this is such an important subject. A lot of times we think about the armor of God and you think about, well, that's something you learn in Sunday school.
It's true.
That's true. But there is so much more adult application to this
yes,
than meets the eye.
Absolutely.
And if we would just focus on what it's telling us, this would help to solve some of the major dilemmas of our personal lives.
You're right.
By being properly armed and then learning how to properly use the armor that we have. See, it's two parts.
That's right.
You got to put it all on.
Our part, too.
Right. And then you got to learn how to use it correctly. And we're down to the last piece of armor for our program this morning, Ephesians 6:17.
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Now, we already talked about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, we're talking about now the helmet of salvation. So, the commentator Barnes has a couple of good lines on this.
The helmet was a cap made of thick leather or brass fitted to the head and was usually crowned with a plume or crest or an ornament. Its use was to guard the head from a blow by a sword or a war club or a battle axe.
So it was a very important defensive weapon. And the other thing, Jonathan, we talked about it. All of the pieces of armor are defense, are protection.
Except for the sword.
Which is an offensive weapon.
Right.
And so the main point is that we have to be able to defend ourselves because we are out there on the battlefield because Satan wants us dead.
Yes.
So you have to be well armed in terms of defense, and the only offense is the Word of God wielded properly through the proper use of God's Spirit. So obviously, this helmet is there to protect the head.
That's right.
The mind, the control center for the entire soldier.
The attitude.
Yeah, I mean that's where the attitude comes from.
Yes,
and an attitude can build a person up, or it can tear down an entire army.
Absolutely.
And you know, talk about a bad attitude. That's what happened to the Yankees, incidentally.
Oh.
That was part of it. Bad attitude. How fitting that salvation is what that protection is made of. For we must have an intellectual acceptance and an understanding of the ransom of Jesus on our behalf. Again, that righteousness on our behalf. With this understanding in place, we're able to truly focus on the battle at hand. And see, that's the thing. You need to be able to focus on the battle at hand. And if you're worried about getting your head getting hurt, you can't focus on it.
That's right.
And so having that properly fit helmet of salvation is critical to our being able to fight this good fight of faith. Isaiah 1:17-18.
Learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord.
Now think about all of those things. It's that learn, seek, rebuke, defend, plead. Let us reason together. Those are all intellectual activities.
Absolutely.
Have to be protected by salvation, because without salvation, we're dead.
And worldly thinking and influence, Satan would love us to be taken off course.
Right. So it is just an important thing to keep this all in perspective, and the rest of that scripture really fits in here.
Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
So even though you're sinful and the sin is discoloring, if you will, even though you are considered clean in the sight of God because of salvation, which is because of the righteousness of Jesus. So it really does put all of those things in place. The redemption which was prophesied was a plan that could be understood by those who would come before God. We have to have our head protected by that salvation that comes through Jesus. And look, the salvation can't come any other way.
That's right.
It just there is no other name in heaven or earth by which man can be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And please check out CQ Rewind at our website, christianquestions.net. There's the summary version or the full edition, but it goes over our discussion, all the scriptures. It's got bonus material, graphics. It is a valuable resource.
And especially with a subject like this, there's bonus material, that things we did not have time to get into, that's part of CQ Rewind, the full edition. And Jonathan, it's all a free service. And that's the thing. It's there. It's free. It's there for the taking. It's there. The whole purpose of producing CQ Rewind, folks, is to give you a tool to put in your hands in your battle against Satan.
And we've also been encouraged by some that use it as a Bible study guide.
That's right. Right.
So how neat.
And there have been people, literally, matter of fact, I don't even think I told you about this, got an email from somebody in Romania.
Yeah?
Who, using CQ Rewind, and asked if he could translate it into Romanian.
Oh, wow. What a blessing.
So, again, it's a tool that's there for to make this battle for Christians easier to fight. Let's go to the salvation. Let's go back to the helmet of salvation. Again, it's all available at christianquestions.net. No other place in the world can you get it.
That's right.
christianquestions.net. The salvation through Jesus should be a primary focus of what we look for in life. Hebrews 12:2-3.
Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
That one scripture encapsulates what the helmet of salvation is, what it does, and how it works. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, he's the beginner and the ender of our faith, and he did what he was supposed to do. He provided salvation, and now he's sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. The salvation through Jesus should be a primary focus of what we meditate on in our life. That's why it says, fixing your eyes on Jesus, focusing on him. Again, your eyes are protected by that helmet because it's covering, it's got the bill that goes over the front, and I mean, it protects you in all kinds of ways. Let's go to verse 3, then we'll go to the phones.
For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
So it is, in our consideration of Jesus and the salvation, that is inspirational.
It is.
And when you're feeling down and feeling low, that is when you have to put your focus on Jesus.
And all that he went through compared to our little difficulties, it's like you can't measure that.
And it inspires us to get up and fight again.
Absolutely.
Let's go to the phones.
All right, well, we have Randall from Connecticut. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Happy Sunday, guys.
To you, too.
The shortcut to putting on the armor of God is to go forward with gratitude, knowing that you are already blessed. Philippians 4:6, have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God.
Simple,
God bless you guys.
Simple, straightforward, to the point. Thank you.
God bless you guys.
Take
Appreciate
care.
It. And you know, that's interesting, because when we approach the battle that we're in with gratitude, you can look at the battle as, oh, I got to fight again. Or, I don't know if I want to fight again. Or, oh, man, the battle never ends. You can get a moany and groany about it. Or you can approach the battle with gratitude.
And thanksgiving.
And saying, thank God that the armor's available.
Yes.
And thank God that I can be protected. And as long as I do my part, you know what? We're essentially invincible until our work is done.
I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
So it's not I can do all things because I want to?
No.
It's not I can do all things because I'm so good?
Nope.
It's not I can do all things because Jonathan said so?
Not quite.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you notice how much of the armor is built around Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth, the sword of the Spirit, all, the sandals of the gospel, the good news, all of it.
Exactly.
Is built around Jesus.
It is.
That's why we can do all things through him who strengthens us. Okay, this salvation through Jesus, it has to become a part of us. 2 Timothy 2:14 to 16.
Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness.
So in looking at this particular helmet of salvation, the apostle is saying, look, salvation is a focused, serious matter. And he says, don't get tied up to the ruin of hearers in wrangling about words, in useless chatter. Empty chatter, he calls it. Avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it leads to further ungodliness. So the helmet of salvation is a tool of armor that focuses us clearly on the object at hand. And the other part of the helmet, and folks, if you have a thought, now would be the time, because we're almost out of time. So if you want to get a last word in, please call us at 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
The thing about the helmet is, you don't just like plop it on your head like a cap, and then, you know, walk into battle. It gets strapped on.
Oh, very good.
Okay, it gets
leather straps.
Right. Breastplate of righteousness, strapped on.
In. That's right.
Okay, the sandals of the preparation of a gospel of peace,
strapped on.
The girdle of truth,
strapped on. Yeah.
I mean, these things become a part of you, and if you don't move forward with these as a part of you, then you are in grave danger.
Yes.
And that's why the scripture in 2 Timothy 2:14-16 is so important. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, you've got to understand the plan of salvation.
That's right.
You got to get it. You got to understand it. It's got to become a part of you, and then it motivates your mind
to share it.
Right. To motivate your heart, to motivate your feet, so you can go forward.
That's right.
That's how it all works. Jonathan, let's go to the last verse of that little song from the kids, the Armor of God song.
Okay.
Lumen 8, the children's choir. They're all excited about wearing the armor of God. Let's listen. Way to remember things, you know, you put it sort of to a rhythm, and again, the point is, we have to be armed and we have to be excited about the armor, because the armor of God, as shown to us in Ephesians chapter 6, is a life-changing experience.
Absolutely.
When we put on the armor,
it's a way of life.
Right. We're ready to do battle in a way we could not possibly survive beforehand.
Right.
So, as we close this up, Jonathan, what does this armor do? Let's go back over all of the pieces of armor that we talked about throughout these last 2 hours. The sandals.
They bring our feet to a thoughtful delivering of the gospel.
So, it's got to be not just a parroting of the gospel.
No.
But a thoughtful delivering of the gospel. That's why they're called the sandals of the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's the thoughtful delivery. We have to know what we're talking about and then be willing to carry it with us. That's what the sandals do. Next.
The breastplate, the righteousness of Jesus that is attached to us, protecting our vital organs.
Remember that breastplate, you put it on like a jacket. And you wear it, and it covers your vital organs, and it protects you with, not your own, but with the righteousness of Jesus in his ransom sacrifice. That's what keeps our vital organs protected.
The belt or the girdle, the truth that binds all of our protection to us, and that holds the sword of the Spirit at the ready.
So that's the thing about that girdle of truth, that belt, is it holds everything to us, it binds everything close to us, and it's a place to sheath the sword of the Spirit. So it's always available whenever you need it at a moment's notice.
The helmet, the salvation that protects our thoughts and therefore our deeds as we go into battle.
So if your thoughts, and then like you said, your attitude is not protected, you're going into battle with the wrong kind of an attitude and you're not going to win.
And the shield, the large external protection of faith that can protect our entire being when necessary.
Remember, it's a big door-like shield that, especially when you're standing shoulder to shoulder with other soldiers, you can create a wall of faith between you and evil.
And the sword, God's own power and influence placed by our side and in our hand to battle an enemy we could never defeat on our own.
So, and to me, that's the interesting piece of armor, Jonathan, that it's a little different because it's an offensive weapon.
Right.
So this sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, it's put into our hands to use, and we have the responsibility to make sure that we strike well, strike clean, making sure that we apply the Spirit of God to the Word of God so that when we use the Word of God, it's used appropriately. Folks, this is about the whole armor of God, and we're telling you, don't leave home without it.
That's right.
You can't do that. Folks, we'd love to hear your comments on Facebook. We hope that you've enjoyed being with us this morning. This is a great subject for every Christian to review, to make sure that you're properly armed, because the battle is coming to you whether you're ready for it or not. Put on the whole armor of God. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We'll be back again next week, but till then, God armor? You better. Think about it.